Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You know what? I'm just going to say it. Oh, what boy. The hell? You guys that live by the lake are soft.
You okay in here?
Why is it so hot in here? How can they sleep like this?
It's only for 3 days. Today's over, then we have tomorrow. We leave on Sunday. It's one day, really.
I mean, you can't handle 77 degrees in the sun? Are you kidding me?
How can they not put the air conditioning on?
They're nuts with temperature.
This bar is right like that.
Who are you talking to right now?
Three of you.
The three of
us? I'm pretty sure the three of you all live down by the lake.
I haven't said a damn word.
Did you hear me complaining about how nice it was yesterday?
Mrs. Seinfeld, please. I am begging you. Put the air conditioner on.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it. We all about it. They making plans. We sit and count. Our chair is stacked just like a mountain. You heard about it. She running her
every
mouth.
Single day at this point, we are celebrating a new milestone slash moment when it comes to the Milwaukee Brewers. Last night they win again, 5-4 over the Atlanta Braves. Got a little close towards the end. Swept the Braves. Have now notched 70 wins. The first team in Major League Baseball to hit that milestone. It's the fastest that a Brewers team has ever notched 70 wins. And guys, I think we all have to reconcile the notion that this is the best team in baseball, and this could be the year for the Milwaukee Brewers to get to the World Series. Like, are we all ready? Chew, I saw it. I saw it. I saw you do the sharp inhale. I saw it. What will it take for you to get on board? We are in August. They have the best record in baseball. Every day, something is happening where you're going, huh, this is a pretty good team. Andrew Vaughn continues his hitting streak. It is now up to 12. The day prior, we were talking about how Freddie Peralta was the first pitcher in Major League Baseball to 13 wins. What is it going to take for all of you, like, nervous Nellies to go full-fledged on board, fall in love?
First round of the playoffs. They dominate. Here's the problem, Jen. As Wisconsin fans, we have so many scars. Right? So many scars. I mean, Badgers. They have Duke up by how much, Gabe, with?
They were up, I believe it was up 8 with 13 minutes to
Scar.
Go.
Scar. Tampa Bay Bucks coming into town, NFC Championship game, feeling real good. Scar. San Francisco 49ers. Right? Number one in the power
but
rankings and then gap. Scar.
But that's
Milwaukee
what
Bucks,
is.
Right? Win a championship. Ho, we're feeling good. We're going to have 3 in 5 years. Scars. You're saying there's no scars?
There are, but everybody has them. This is what sports are. This is what sports is.
I know.
Turns out, in a 30-team league, how many teams win a championship every year?
One.
One of them.
I know.
So there's 29 other teams experiencing heartbreak.
I am from the
Gabe,
standpoint.
How certain were you that he was going to get that math equation right? 50-50?
Honestly, I thought he was going to say, yeah, it's... I'm not sure where it was going to go.
Well, actually, there was a day where there were co-champs in college football.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Yes. So it's just always, I'm a person that always leave myself out.
Why do you think that is, though?
Always leave myself out.
Okay, and you're probably talking beyond just sports.
Yes.
We're talking about
life.
I hope so. But, like, is it this idea of you don't want to get your heart hurt?
Yes.
If you invest 100% in the Milwaukee Brewers at this point, and they do have an unceremonious early exit, or this stretch that they've been on, which again, it would be unbelievable, inconceivable, remarkable if they were to continue this clip, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Is it that you would be like, I knew I shouldn't have invested. I knew I shouldn't have rode the wave. I knew I shouldn't have, like, why not? This is so fun.
You know why? You know why? Because you can't control it. Right?
No.
If I go play golf, and I can't play golf unless there's money on the table, right? can't.
It's a whole other thing
boring.
That we could,
it's just could boring.
Unwrap later.
But at the end of the day, I control it. I control it. When I played, I control it. I don't have control. So I put that wall up. I'm like, just in case it doesn't happen. I don't know. Is that just me?
I don't think it's just you. I do believe that there is a portion of the fan viewing population, maybe even particularly here in Wisconsin, because of the scar thing that you referenced a few moments ago. But if not now, when? Like, if you're not willing to get on board with a 70-win team in 114 games, 114 is the number, right? That's how many games they've played. Then when will you be willing to ride the wave? When will you be willing to put yourself out there as a sports fan?
That first playoff series. If they dominate, and whether it's the wild card or they get the bye in the next round and they dominate, then I'll be like, all right, I'm feeling really good.
I got breaking news for you, pal.
Yeah.
Like, no matter when you invest, chances are you're going to get your heart broken. Like, this is the highest I have ever known. And maybe there were other years where it got this high. I doubt it. I just don't remember looking back then. But right now, according to Baseball Reference and the models that they have, the Brewers have the highest chance at winning a World Series at 20%, which is incredibly high.
Whoa.
Which is incredibly high. But guess what that means? 80% chance they don't win the World Series, right? Like, chances are you're going to get your heart broken. Who cares? Because I'm sure there were people last year who were guarded last year when they lost to the Mets in the first round and then had that incredible game in game two to tie things up and have the back-to-back homers in game three. AmFam Field was in a frenzy I had never seen in that stadium before. Had our hearts broken. Who cares? It happens to everybody. Get on board. This team, this team might break your heart, but you're not going to be able to fully enjoy it unless you jump on board.
But part of it is baseball, because if this was the Packers, he'd be like, okay, they didn't win it. That's fine. Because football is fair. If you have a good organization, they're eventually going to win. Baseball's not fair. So it's like, if they don't do it, the Brewers don't do it this year, and it's part of what I've been talking about earlier, like, we have to trust this organization. But baseball's not fair. If they don't do it this year, it may never happen.
Two, all the ways that baseball isn't fair don't affect, in my opinion, the day-to-day anymore. All the ways that baseball is quote-unquote unfair, and I do agree with you from a financial standpoint, is about building the roster and having the assets. The Brewers have shown that the assets they've collected are just as good, if not better, than the collection that the other teams have put out there on the diamond. They just have. They have shown it now. The sample size is large enough that it isn't a fluke.
But going back to Moneyball, we're donors for the rich. Peralta's not going to be here. He ain't going to be here. He's going to go to the Yankees or he's going to go to the Red Sox. Am I right?
Who cares?
I know.
That has nothing to do with 2025. Yeah, chances are Freddie Peralta's not going to be here long term. Who knows if they sign Miz to a long term deal the way they did with Jackson Churio? Those are legitimate questions, Chu.
Yeah.
Those are questions I ain't worrying about until we get to November.
I agree. It's just the way I'm wired.
But what could we do? But think about it, Chu. Same thing happened this past offseason. Traded away Devin Williams. Willie Adames, emotional leader.
Who is not
power bat in the middle of the lineup, walks out the door. Oh, Brewers are cooked. Brewers are done. And now here we are in the middle of something we've never seen them do. Get to 70 victories this fast to have a 20% chance at winning the World Series, according to Baseball Reference. To have their first 6-0 road trip in 10 years.
I know. You're basically saying I'm not practicing what I'm preaching, because I was the one that said, trust this organization.
Well, I was going to say that because you have all of the trust in the world in what Matt Arnold and company can do, in what the scouts have done, in what the pitching coaches have done, and the hitting coaches. I mean, goodness sakes, guys.
I know. The fact that
Andrew Vaughn could come over from this poverty franchise that is the White Sox right now, not always, because they got a World Series under their belt, but they are right now, and be lights out. Hitting the leather off the ball, like, this is all unbelievable what Andrew Vaughn is doing. So there's a part of me that thinks, like, this is a collective. This is the pieces they've put together, not just on the field, but obviously the support staff as well. There is something magical happening right now in Milwaukee.
Yes, but Jen, the Packers could go out and get Micah Parsons if they wanted to, right? If they wanted to,
no.
They could do it.
They
yes, they could.
No,
they could do it in a heartbeat. Give up 2 first-round picks, pay him his money. The cap will take care of itself. UA said don't worry about the cap. The Brewers cannot go out and get Shohei Ohtani. They can't. Right?
Who cares?
That's why I'm guarded.
But who cares? The part of acquisition is over. It is done.
I know.
The teams have been assembled. We've got a little less than 2 months of baseball left at this point. It's not like the Cubs can go get Shohei Ohtani at this point.
Help me, help me.
I'm trying.
That's what I'm saying.
Would you listen to me, damn it?
Help me.
And I think what we have said is you trust this organization.
I know.
And you don't have to do it blindly anymore. That's the thing. A lot of times you have to blindly trust that what an organization is doing, that what a front office is doing, is going to work, fingers crossed. The proof is on the field. The proof is in the record book. The proof is 70 wins this season. And I know we have mentioned, right, caveat, Brewers have a tough second half of the season. We mentioned that at the All-Star break. How did it match up with the Cubs? Well, the Cubs are clunking their way through, and the Brewers just keep winning. And I told you guys this. I'm watching the game yesterday. It gets a little tight, right? Jose Quintana on the hill. He gives up a run early, but the Brewers respond, as they often do. So when it's 5-4 in the ninth and Trevor McGill is on the hill, I'm not even worried. Mm-hmm. Not even worried. I said, oh, they're going to win this. They're going to win this.
Which, in the end of the day, is good.
Which is the flip of how it used to be. Remember when we would say, there it is. They're going to lose this. You're going
to
lose.
Which is good because it's conditioning, because when you get to the playoffs, you have these type of games.
Yeah.
So, all right. I'm going to work on it. I'm going to work on it. That's all I can say.
I don't believe you.
You're smart.
800-990-3776. We are going to, loyal listeners included, convince Chu it is time to be on board, get on board with the Milwaukee Brewers. It's a fun team to watch. He knows that. He's seen games. But this idea of they're going to break my heart is tough for him to overcome. And as I said, Chu, I don't think you're alone in that. I think there are some Brewers fans out there who are hesitant to buy in 100%, who have trepidation about going all in, because in the past, things have fallen short. The team has been, but I will also say this. They've made the playoffs now. Is it 6 out of 7?
Six out of seven.
Like, that to me is the runway.
They've played, and even the one game that they missed, they played 161 relevant games.
It came down to the only game
that didn't matter was game 162.
So I want people to weigh in on the ESPN Milwaukee Carbless Talk and Text Line on the YouTube stream. You can find us on ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube. Tell Chu why it is time to buy in. Give him reasons. It sounds like he needs some logic. We can't just be emotional at this point, right? Our guy needs some logic to buy into the Brewers at this point. 70 wins, my goodness. Guys, I started compiling a list, like with each guy on the team, much like the game notes does, and what they've done most recently. The list is long, man. I mean, Blake Perkins had his first career multi-home run game on Friday. That's still within the last week. Bryce Terang is among national leaders in stolen bases. He had his first career multi-home run game on Sunday. Oh, by the way, also had 4 RBI. Christian Yelich is among league leaders. Last check, he's up over 70 RBI on the season. Joey Ortiz had the four. Did I already say Joey Ortiz?
You did not. No, he did.
4 RBI game on Sunday. We obviously talked about Isaac Collins, who's the reigning rookie of the month. He is hitting well over at this point 300, or he hit over 300. It was 321 in the month of July. And of course, what Andrew Vaughn is doing. Andrew Vaughn's going to get a lot of attention, especially as this hitting streak continues. It is up to 12. He had a grand slam last Tuesday, so just outside of a week ago, 6 RBI for that game. And, of course, we talk about the pitching here for this Milwaukee Brewers team a lot. What else? Let's convince Chu it is time to buy in to the Brew Crew. 800-990-3776. We go out to the phone lines, and Dr. Dave is joining us this morning. I always love a visit from Dr. Dave. Good morning, Dr. Dave. Should Chewy buy in?
Good morning. Chewy should definitely buy in, Jen. If you're not going to buy into this fun Brewers team, when would you buy in? Statistically, they're doing wonderfully. It's baseball. They got to stay healthy, and we none of us control that. But you know, walking around the hospital, walking around the community. Everybody's getting energized. And this team is doing it the Brewer way. And yes, as a Wisconsin fan, we are seriously scarred, but that's part of the fun of the sports.
Dr. Dave, appreciate you always for your insight and everything that you do in our community as well. Let's go out to Dan in Sheboygan. He's on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Dan, what do you got?
The Brewers are actually saving the bullpen. They had a game a couple days ago where they went two pitchers. Ashby picked up the last three innings. Peralta and Quintana, they're actually not abusing the bullpen, and they got the Miz. They dropped in a future books in Vegas in like half after two or three starts. They haven't had a pitcher like the Miz. They've got a 1-2-3 where they can actually line up and do it the right way. They built their own really good pitching and defense. That's what wins the World Series. They got the right template in place, and they're hungry.
Dan, appreciate the call.
Is that changing you? That flipping you? Making you feel something?
I'm just sitting here wondering how huge it would be if they won the world. It'd be huge.
So remember when the Bucks won the championship?
Yes.
It would be bigger.
I agree.
It would be bigger.
Because the Brewers are a state team, you know, and while you have Bucks fans throughout the state, the fan base is concentrated mostly down here in southeastern Wisconsin, right? But the Brewers are beloved throughout the entire state of Wisconsin. 800-990-3776. Let's go out to Colin in Maguanago. Colin, can you convince Chu it is time?
I think I can. Although I hear Chu in his comparison to football, you want longevity. You want to believe that this organization will be doing what they did this year, next year.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's definitely time to get behind the team, though I understand Chu's reservations on getting behind the organization because people go chase their paychecks next year. We could lose a lot of pieces to the puzzle. So appreciate the time.
So the Brewers have made the postseason 6 of the last 7 years.
Yeah.
The Packers have also made the postseason in 6 of the last 7 years. Like, they've missed the postseason the same amount of times, and yet, to your point, we look at the Packers completely different. Like, this is a team that's had the same amount of success in the same time frame as the Green Bay Packers.
But you guys know me, okay? If I go all in and they lose 3 or 4 in a row, you know what I'm going to do. It's over. It's done.
But that's not the way
it's not.
The fun part, too. And by the way, I just got my numbers wrong. They've made the postseason. They've only made the postseason 5 of the last 6 with Matt LaFleur. They missed the postseason before Matt. So this team's been in the playoffs more in the last 7 years than the Green Bay Packers have. And the fun part is, as well as they're playing right now, Chu, if that 3-game losing streak hits, they still have a cushion. They lead the division unless the 3-game losing streak comes a week and a half from now against the Cubs in that 5-game series. That would be unfortunate.
Yeah.
But if they have a 3-game losing streak, they've got a cushion right now over everybody. So they've got a 4-game lead on the Cubs. They are up by 5 on the Phillies. They're up by 4.5 on the Dodgers overall. Like, for that top seed to get home field advantage throughout the National League playoffs.
So if the playoffs were today,
they would get a bye.
And then who would they probably play?
They would play the winner of
wild card.
The Cubs and who's the third wild card or the second wild card? They would play the winner of the, I think, the Cubs and
I've got Padres, Mets.
Padres
on the list here of wild card teams. Contending.
I mean, that's scary. It's a little
scary. Look, you're going to get to see the Mets this weekend at AmFam Field.
Yeah.
Brewers welcoming them in for a 3-game series. But it isn't just that. I think that you have to take the totality of it. And Chu, you're right. Baseball isn't fair. And the Brewers will have a tough time holding on to some of these players who have performed beyond what the Brewers can hold on to. But right now, they're here.
Yeah,
and right now, they have shown that they are. This is the best group. This is the best collective. Even if you think that they are not individually, you know, nobody's sitting here going, give me a comp. Nobody's sitting here going, Blake Perkins is Shohei Ohtani. Again, I know position differences and whatnot, but nobody's sitting here saying that.
Yeah.
But you do have guys who are atop their respective lists as well. We talked about Isaac Collins. He's a front runner for Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, I know. I know.
You know?
I know,
and we all thought that The Miz was going to kind of stroll in and nail that one down. Like 800-990-3776.
I've never watched this much Brewers with this much to go in the season. Angie walked in after work and goes, because I was watching a game. She's like, I thought you were a Red Sox fan. And I'm like, not this year.
The front runner coming out.
There, but not this year.
Front runner coming out.
We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We got Jason Wilde coming up to talk a little bit Packers. Obviously, the preseason is underway this weekend. But I am curious, as the show goes on, Gabe, if you have changed your tune on Andrew Vaughn. Not that he can keep up this unbelievable clip the rest of the season, but if he is, in fact, the bat that everybody wanted the Brewers to go out and get, and it just came several weeks before the trade deadline, we'll get into that as Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on this morning.
Hey, sports fans, it is that time of the year. Football season, it's here, which means fantasy football is here, and coming up on August 20th, fantasy football draft back, as ESPN Wisconsin is going to be taking over the Pottawatomie Sportsbook for an exclusive event. You can call us right now to join the Fantasy League. Go head-to-head with us. Josh is going to be running the team. We're all going to have input, though, and draft your team. We're talking free food, great prizes, full VIP experience, all for fans 21 and up. We've got a lot of spots to give away today, so callers number 4, 6, and 8, 4, 6, and 8, 800-990-3776. You get a spot in the Fantasy Football League August 20th at Pottawatomie Sportsbook. 800-990-3776, callers 4, 6, and 8.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy are back after this on 94.5 ESPN.
Radio.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Brought to you by Exterior Pros. Ready to tackle your home improvement project this year? Exterior Pros and Baths is here to help you score big with quality home exterior and shower upgrades. Visit extpros.com. Also brought to you by Lakeland Supply. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com.
Packers, Jets this weekend in the preseason. For all things green and gold, we go to our guy, Jason Wilde. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
I'm great, everybody. How are you?
How are we?
We're great.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, I was waiting for the Tony Tiger.
I don't get it.
You know, are you unfamiliar with Frosted Flakes?
Yeah. What does that have to do with?
Man.
So Frosted Flakes, the mascot is a?
A tiger.
His name is?
Tony.
And he says,
Gurr.
Eight. They're great.
All right.
Do you remember that now?
Yeah.
It's been a while, though. I haven't seen great in over a decade.
I'm more of a Mikey guy, Jason.
Well, that is an even more Mikey. Dated reference.
See, Jason gets it.
Which,
yeah.
Mikey switched to Frosted Flakes in the end, though. I don't know if you must have missed that part of the story.
Jason.
Isn't he one of those, like, urban legends that he, like, ate Pop Rocks and drank soda and it killed him, which wasn't even true?
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure there was
that.
A legend of that.
Yeah, you're right.
Jason.
Right, hard-hitting football now.
Yeah, we are in the season of gush, and it seems like this is Golden, the receiver. There's a lot of gush going on about him.
Uh-huh.
We gushed about Luke Musgrave 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Remember that gush? Heavy gush.
Yeah, the summer of 2023, yes. Never was compared to Mark Shimura, though.
Yes.
Like Tucker Kraft was last year.
Last year was the D-line gush, right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting across from the Gush Brigade right here. Why is different? Why is Golden different than past gushes?
Yeah, I don't know if he is. I am always leery of the training camp gush. If you listen to the way I talk about Golden, I tiptoe up to the gush line, but I want to make sure that I say, look, he's still a rookie. He has shown a lot of encouraging signs. He has been everything that I went into training camp saying, this is what I want to see from him. But again, there's going to be bumps in the road. There's going to be rookie mistakes. There was a mistake that he made on running his route toward the end of family night. And if you watched it on TV, you saw LaFleur pull him and Love aside and kind of talk about what Golden needs to do on that route to make sure that they get the clock stopped and that he gets out of bounds and all the other stuff. He looks the part.
Mm-hmm.
He really does. And I have made repeatedly the comp to Greg Jennings, who I'm going to text today because I would be curious if he's seen any of him and if he agrees with that assessment, because he's so smooth. His hands are super strong. Obviously, he's faster than Jennings. Jennings never ran a 4.29. But the thing that draws me to that comp, they're both roughly the same size, too. Well, not anymore because Greg became a bodybuilder. But the thing that makes me make that comp is the way he glides. You know how you... We love you dearly, Chu.
There was no gliding in my game. It's what you wanted to say.
Yeah, you were... I mean, it's not that you weren't sufficiently fast,
yeah,
but it looked like you were working really hard when you ran that.
I was.
Fair?
Yes, okay. Very fair.
Jennings never looked like it was an effort. He just would glide. And that's what I see from Golden. Now, there is somebody that I'm going to gush about, and he does play wide receiver. I wrote about him this morning for Channel 3000. I talked about him on the news last night. Romeo Doubs is having a really good camp. I mean, he's catching everything. I mean, he even had the, you know, where they try to hold on to the number of punts they catch, and he had caught six already, and the seventh was coming. And he dropped one of the balls he was holding, which disqualified him. And then he just so, and this is really the big word with the kids nowadays, apparently, is nonchalant. He so nonchalantly just caught the seventh ball with one hand about below his hip as it was about to land. Like, he is, it's like he's got stickum on his hands. I mean, he looks really, really good. And yesterday, Love was effusive. Talk about gushing. You should have heard Love yesterday talking about him. And no pun intended, but I just love where he's at mentally right now. He's playing lights out. Like, he just, Love could not say enough good things about Doubs. So, again, there, especially after what happened last year, and I had somebody push back on me saying that I was being flippant about what might have been a mental health episode. Believe me, I am not flippant about that. What I would say, though, is that in the National Football League, where a lot of times they're looking for reasons not to pay you, right? Not to keep you, not to put their trust in you. Like, they don't forget that stuff. And they don't care if it was a mental health episode or whatever it was, or you were just frustrated and you decided not to come to work. Whatever, however you want to diagnose what he did last year, I went into this season knowing from talking to people in the building that left a mark. And that more likely than not, his best path was going to be to ball out this year so someone else would pay him in March. Now, I also thought, well, maybe he can do things that will reduce the likelihood of that, and maybe he can prove to them that was a blip on the radar, and that's not who he really is. I don't know if he's done that to this point, and I don't think you can do it just in 2 weeks of training camp, but to this point, he has done everything you would want him to do to feel encouraged about where he's at.
Have you had a chance to talk to Romeo about that? I know
I have.
He's okay, and what has his mentality been coming into camp?
So I say this, and let me scroll down here because I want to read to you guys because I love to read on the radio, and I know our fans love listening to me read on the radio. But I really struggle with how to describe him in terms of the interactions that I have with him because, you know, again, I don't want to be insensitive. I don't want to be a jerk, but he's a different dude. Okay.
Like so Jason, Wayne Simmons different?
Wayne Simmons, but not scary.
Okay, I gotcha.
Okay?
Yes.
I wrote, no one who's spent time around Dobbs would dispute that his personality is different than your prototypical wide receiver. He's often withdrawn during media locker room access periods, and yet he is polite and accommodating when reporters ask to speak with him. When he does do interviews, his answers can sometimes catch the listener off guard, like when he was asked a boilerplate question about his goals for this season. I'm going to be real with you. I have no goals going into this year, Dobbs replied. I think this league is a day-to-day league, and there is a process within that, so that's my main focus. Like, again, what player, when you ask them if they have goals, is going to tell you, I have no goals? Like, and if that's what his mentality is, God bless him for being honest with us, right?
Yeah.
Like, I want you to be honest with me, but it's just, there. He has a different personality. He's a different cat, and for me, you know, that, and then to have what happened last year, he's just introverted. And I was so glad. This is another step in Jordan Love's development as a leader. I love that he came out with that full-throated support of him yesterday, because that, I thought, as a quarterback and as someone who knows the issues that there were between Rodgers and Dobbs, it was a really neat thing to see.
Jason, it sounds like Edgerrin Cooper is raising eyebrows on the other side of the ball. What have you seen from him?
Yeah, the best description I've heard was something that Halfley said to us in, like, the spring. He just eats up the grass. Again, you know, Chewy ate up grass. It just took him longer. I mean, he's just so fast. He gets to places so quickly. Now, sometimes, as we saw last season, he got to the wrong place sometimes, right? But a lot of times he was in the right place. And so I think there's a feeling that he is going to make that jump. But again, it's gush season. And so I don't want to be overly gushy. There was a point, though, the other day when I was at practice, that they went with, in their base, they went with Cooper, Quay Walker, and Isaiah Simmons, which... that is like athleticism coming out of your ears.
A lot of speed.
So I'd be now they have to execute, but that is a fascinating group to put together.
Jason, do you have a Christian Watson update?
I do. I talked to him yesterday, and you know, he's such a smart guy, and he was not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe that some folks were asking about timelines. I don't even bother to ask guys about timelines anymore, because they have been coached to not say anything. I don't want to put a timeline on it, is like their standard reply. But earlier in camp, he did admit that he's expecting to start the year on PUP, which would be 4 games minimum before he could start practicing. They could open up the practice window. To me, that makes sense. Like, he said he's not full speed cutting yet. He did say that he feels like he's running at full speed in a straight line. But we know how conservative this medical staff is. I know how motivated he is to get back on the field as quickly as possible, because he's in a contract year. But that's serving two different ends, and I'm curious to see how he balances it, because I think he is a perfect example of a guy that he has great qualities and wants to be there for his teammates and does want to be out there for the selfish reasons of his uncertain future. And good medical staffs like Flea, like Doc McKenzie, make sure that they're protecting players from themselves. And I think that's what they have to do with him.
Jason, I think it's fair to say we've seen a side of Matt LaFleur we haven't really seen a lot early in training camp. So this is the weekly Matt LaFleur temperament check-in. What has he been like this week leading into the first preseason game?
Well, you know, with my gout, I haven't been able to see this person, but I
thought
you
we determined that was misdiagnosed.
It was, but it's funny to say gout as opposed to turf toe or whatever I was going to say. Look, he has not blown his gasket. I think they finally found the, or maybe it's just because Nate Hobbs isn't practicing. I'm not sure. But I think they've kind of found that zone of be physical, don't hurt your fellow teammates. So my understanding is he has not lost it. I don't know if you got to see him with Kevin Clark. He seemed very much at ease there. But I do think that they feel really good about some of the pieces they have. They definitely have this edict of more physicality, and I think they struggled with that the first 2 weeks because there were a lot of guys that wanted to show them, hey, I can be physical just like you want me to, but sometimes it went over the line.
Jason, I know we'll chat with you again tomorrow, but what should we expect to see from the starters? Have you been given any indication of how they are going to, you know, if we're going to see Love out there? I mean, how much we're going to see the starters and all that stuff this weekend?
Yeah, Jordan talked like he's definitely playing. I don't expect too much, is what he said. But
he played three snaps in the preseason last year, Jason, right?
Correct. Yeah, I mean, remember when Rodgers in that one preseason game threw a touchdown on the very first play and the starters were done?
Yep.
I mean, ideally that's what they do. But again, there's more. I'm a bubble wrap guy. And after what he endured last year, I don't believe that playing, you know, multiple series and multiple games, the juice isn't worth the squeeze to me. But, you know, Zach Taylor's team has started 0-3 last year. If they'd have won one of their first three, they'd have been in the playoffs. And instead, so Cincinnati's going to play their guys in the first and second preseason game, Zach Taylor said. And I hope for his sake and for, you know, as Mike Sherman's son-in-law, that he doesn't get Ja'Marr Chase or Joe Burrow hurt in a game that doesn't count.
Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us. Have a great one. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
And again, we'll talk to Jason Wilson tomorrow, maybe get a little more insight into what we can expect from the Packers' game plan against the Jets. I guess we're in it, man. No? Not real football yet, Gabe?
I mean, Jordan Love's going to play a series, and that's probably going to be it.
Will you be able to extrapolate anything from that series?
No.
You're going to watch.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, I mean, wish I didn't have to.
Okay.
Well, you're excited to watch Taylor Alkersma throw the ball in the fourth quarter?
Yes.
You're not going to watch past halftime.
Are you giving me till halftime?
I did think that was aggressive when you came. You mentioned that Jordan might play one series. I think that might be the extent of Chewy's attention span. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Roll on right after this.
Guys, I'm telling you, if you're making plans to propose to that special someone in your life, you know what I'm already going to say. The only place to go, it's the Jewelry Center. They're the best place to shop for diamond engagement rings in Milwaukee for a reason. And that reason, the great team they've put together. Whether you stop in Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington, if you have an idea, if you don't have an idea, just go to our Pinterest page. See if there's anything on there. Bring those ideas in, and they're always going to point you in the right direction. Whether you're looking for a naturally mined diamond, a lab-grown diamond, whatever you're in the market for, they're going to have it at the Jewelry Center. Again, stop in Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington, online at shoptjc.com. When you head to the Jewelry Center, tell Dean the Dancing Machine we say hi, and then tell him that Gabe and Chew sent you.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy continues next on 94.5 ESPN.
Good stuff from Jason Wilde just a few moments ago, and if you missed any of it, you can find it on Wisconsin On Demand, our new ESPN Wisconsin app. That's where we aggregate all of Jason's insights for you, the loyal listener. Jordan Love, we've been talking about this, was hanging out with Kevin Clark. Kevin Clark is a very good dude, okay? And he loves NFL football. So it's really been a treat for him to bop around from training camp to training camp and sit with some of the key players in the league, including the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. Kevin Clark and Jordan have been dropping these clips on social media. And here is the latest from Jordan Love with Kevin Clark on the This Is Football podcast, reflecting on last season. Take a listen.
Yeah, no, I think from last season, the biggest thing was accuracy. I think there was some just inconsistency with the accuracy and things like that, where balls that, you know, keep you up at night, where it's like, man, I could have easily made this, and it might be just something's wrong with my feet. Maybe I'm not opening up enough. or following through. So just little things. But I think the biggest thing is just I feel like I wasn't creating as many off-schedule plays last season. Obviously I was dealing with some injuries, different things like that. But I think that's a big part of my game that I got to get back into.
Chu, how difficult is it? And Gabe, you can weigh in on this as well, having played baseball at a high level. When you know that there is something, I don't want to say wrong, but just like not as efficient with your mechanics, trying to simulate those game reps is hard. Mm-hmm. How do you just run through? Look, he can have perfect footwork in some of these drills. He can be out there with his private coach and they can be doing da-da-da-da-da-da-da, perfect. But it's the game variable that seems to still be, at least from what we have seen, jamming Jordan up. So what is the best way to fix that going into this season?
Trust your technique, because things happen in games that you don't expect. You know, practice is all scripted. You know what's going to be. You know what the coverage is. You know what the front is. But when you get to a game, you don't, right? And it's trusting it. The toughest block I have had to make, and it was so hard to trust, and Andy would just try to pound it in my head, is when you have a wide nine, right? A wide nine is a defensive end on my outside shoulder, and we're running a stretch play, okay? So if you just think of that, you're like, how in the hell are they going to do that, right? But it's hard because you have to trust it, and you don't want to do this as an offensive player, but you actually have to, and Andy would say, lose ground to gain position, right? So you would actually have to retreat, which you don't want to do because you feel like the running back's going to hit you in the back. Lose ground to gain position and stay on your track. Well, it's the same for every position. Every position has something that they don't like, and then they have to trust it. That's where he is, right? You have to trust your footwork. When you get flushed and you don't expect it, an O-lineman gets O-laid, right? That's when they fall on their face.
O-laid!
Yeah. You got to trust it. Trust your slide step, set your feet, throw. A lot of times you just want to... You panic is essentially what you do. And
everything speeds up, yeah.
I've panicked before having a lose ground game position because you're just like, it sounds good on paper, but when you actually get there, it's difficult.
How tough is it? So he dealt with the injury last year. By all accounts, he's now healthy this year. So he's had an off season to kind of try to get over that.
Yeah.
How tough is it, though, now that you're healthy, to be able to trust and do everything that you were able to do before the injury?
It's easier, but it's a lot like baseball. When I'm playing against the defensive side of the ball, mainly the linebackers and the D-end, you look for tells. It's like baseball, right? Pitchers want to hide their pitches. The changeup has to look the same as the fastball, right?
Correct.
Well, it's the same. You're looking for tells. Jordan does the same thing. You know, you look at a linebacker's feet. You look at... It's mostly trust, which is hard to do. It's hard to do because this is a fast, fast game, and a lot of times you don't trust it, and that's when you make mistakes. So he's just got to trust his coaching and trust the process and don't give away any tells that will help the defense.
So, Gabe, I guess what I'm thinking of is like, I think about these youth baseball players, you know, that Chasers is buddies with. And if they have something in their swing mechanics that they need to improve, how they will do tee work. Mm-hmm. And they will just do over and over and over and over. Bucket of balls, bucket of balls, bucket of balls. How does Jordan do that? And also, because you can do it perfectly during those drills, but then when you get in the heat of a game or you get in a muddy pocket or whatever it may be, how do you flip that switch of, muscle memory kick in and still do the same thing that I was doing in those drills?
That's where I think it's the toughest thing for a modern quarterback. Because in Chewy's day, like they practiced hard. They play, I mean, we're talking about Jordan Love playing a series in the preseason. They played four preseason games, and that's what they did in the last one. Like, they would work up. You guys would play the first quarter, then maybe a little bit into the second quarter. Third was always the dress rehearsal. You guys were playing until after halftime because Holmgren wanted those guys to get used to
coming out after
so they would play that first series after halftime. And you can get a lot of work then because now that's as close to a regular season game as you're going to get. Now, preseason games don't move as fast as regular season games, but it all digresses back from that. Okay, so now he's going to get his work in family night and in these two joint practices they're going to have coming up. It's not the same as a game. You're wearing the red jersey. And the only way you can get that is in a game. And I think that almost becomes harder now to trust everything you're talking about when you're getting into a game situation, because the only time you're doing it as a quarterback, in most instances, again, some teams play more in the preseason than others, is once the first regular season game hits, because so many teams are protective, especially at that position.
It's crazy to think of, and every position has to do it. Some is more, obviously quarterback's the most intense, but you guys rip on me for being so scheduled. From here I go to the gym, from there I go to the grocery store. I'll give you an example. When I leave Fox 2 XY Hook, my route, I'm number one read, it's hook to curl, okay? So when I leave the huddle, you're talking, you probably have 14 seconds. This is my process. And just imagine it for a quarterback. This is my process. Break the huddle. Okay, what's the front? Okay, 25 front. Am I going to get held up? No. Okay. So who has hooked a curl? Right now, I don't know. I have to wait till I see who's cheating where. Okay? So the linebacker widens out a little bit. Safety's deep. Okay, they're probably going to be in some form of three. Okay. Linebacker widens. And this is all looking in 5 seconds. Oh, okay. Mike linebacker took one more step towards me. Okay, he's got me. Okay, got to get off the line. Okay, how am I going to ditch him? Okay, so I'm going to attack him to make it think I'm running an over route, and then I'm going to snap it, sit in that little hook to curl area, bang, hits me, 12-yard gain. That's every play. Just imagine it for a quarterback. Okay, Fox to Equi hook. Okay, the front here, who's blitzing here? Okay, play fake. It's play action. Got to get it to good play action to the tailback. Now, are they blitzing? Because now you got to speed it up. Now you got to speed it up. You can't be as nonchalant if it's just straight zone. So that's every single play that you have to break down.
Yeah, but then it's once the ball is snapped, how does he get to a point where, and I know it probably sounds like we are harping on the footwork too much, because I have seen on social media people say, like, but he makes some of the throws with questionable footwork.
Yeah. And that can be a weapon. It was a weapon for Brett. It was a weapon for Aaron.
Yeah.
But you still saw the fundamental, like, you can't do it all the time. You can't do it all the time because that's what leads to 60% percentage.
It's all predictable because, like I said, the Buck linebacker who's on my outside shoulder widens. So Jordan sees that. He's like, okay, the play action has to speed up, and then I'm probably going to have to step up because he's coming wide, and that's a little bit of a tough block for the tackle. So he knows as it's happening, probably going to step up, where if no one's blitzing, I can sit back there, find it, bang. So that's where he is, like, ahead of his footwork already, knowing that, okay, I'm going to have to step up. I know where my feet have to go.
And what I want to try to nail down here is this. As Jordan tells Kevin Clark that he is pushing at practice to emphasize creating the off-schedule plays, I wonder if those reps, right, where in his mind he's like, I want to help get better at the off-schedule plays, then he isn't thinking about the footwork, which we also know he needs reps in making better, right? So that's where I'm having this conflict of conscience here of like, great, I know we would love to see Jordan pick up more first downs with his feet, and we would love to see him have more success with the off-schedule plays. But that means that he's not getting those reps in the correct footwork, the right footwork, and that will help him with his downfield accuracy. And so it's a little bit of robbing Peter to pay Paul when I hear Jordan Love say that, if I'm being honest, Gabe.
Not for me, because again, I mean, Chewy just went in. There's a lot that goes into playing quarterback, and I think you can be working on multiple things at once. Mm-hmm. Like getting that footwork down. And to me, the off-schedule stuff just goes back to him having confidence in the knee. I mean, he wasn't running as much last year because he didn't have confidence in the knee, which also means he's probably not trying to get outside the pocket to extend plays where he can run it, or if somebody breaks free, throw it downfield. So to me, the, hey, we didn't have that last year, that just goes back to the knee. And I feel you're going to see more of that just because he's healthy. Whether that's, and again, whether or not you see this year because they changed their running style with running out of shotgun a little bit more because of Josh Jacobs, but a staple of this offense that Matt LaFleur runs, the Shanahan McVay offense, is the stretch boot play action.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to see a little bit more of that once we hit the regular season.
We'll know, and we talked about it this offseason, and I said I believe he's just got to tuck in and run more because every quarterback's doing it now.
Yeah.
We'll know the first game of the year if that's a point of emphasis, right?
Yeah.
We'll know. We're not going to know in the preseason.
Correct.
But we'll know, which I want to see. Because if he does run the boot, right, and you got a guy, but there's no one accounting for him.
Yeah.
I want to see if he just takes 12-yard game. Perfect. Good. Move the chains. Because they struggled a little bit, I think, on third down last year.
Yeah.
We'll put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Infinity Exteriors poll. Do you expect to see Jordan Love? And it's hard to nail this down, but basically he is saying that he wants to create more plays, make more off-schedule plays, and use his legs more when things break down. Are you expecting that to actually happen? It is the plan, of course, as he has indicated. Are you expecting to see that more with the Green Bay Packers offense this year? Let us know, 800-990-3776. We'll take a break. Roll on right after this.
Your state, your teams, your ESPN. The ESPN Wisconsin app. Find the ESPN Wisconsin app in the Apple or Android app stores today. More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy coming up on 94.5 ESPN.